Hello again, David Creel, world's best double eagle coach, with my friend Chris Granger with thelionwithin.us. How are you today, Chris?
I'm doing well, David. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
That's it. That's it. That's great.
Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, I'm very excited. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. Okay, so if it's all right with you, we'll just get right into it. So what would make this an extraordinary conversation today?
Well, I mean, I'm excited just to learn from you and to have an opportunity just to share. I'm new to the entrepreneurial game, and so got a foot in two boats, if you will. So just trying to figure out how to navigate this ship moving forward.
What does it look like now?
Yeah, right now, I mean, I have a primary job. I've been working for 20 years, and you know, it's a secular job, and this, when I started the Lion Within Us back in January of this year, it's definitely been a challenge, but it's been a fun challenge, and just trying to balance the time. So my biggest thing right now, a hurdle, is just understanding the value of time and then where I spend that time, and then setting up the right boundaries so that I can protect, you know, my marriage, my kids, also serve my current employer, and then at the same time, you know, build the things I need to build to make this business, you know, be successful.
What's the next thing you need to build, or you think you need to build in order to grow? I'm assuming the side hustle is thelionwithin.us. So
yeah,
what's the next thing you need to build to grow that?
Right now, the rest of this year, I'm focused on building e-courses for online learning. So I got the Bible study done, and that's actually a video course now. And we broke that down into smaller chunks, but so I'm working on a personal finance course next. And then the goal again, the rest of this year, just build content. We're just establishing trust, you know, trying to serve others, just, you know, and have really good material out there so that when we go into a membership model, that's the end goal next year in 2023, we'll be opening up like a membership where it'd be like a monthly type program, that it'll be there to serve the guys, and the right material will be there, you know, to serve them where they're at, and to help them with their journey, and then build that community along the way.
Okay. And how are you going to, let's say get the word out for the upcoming courses that are coming between now and sometime, whenever the membership site launches?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we're doing right now. We're using the podcast. So the podcast is the medium for, you know, getting information out there. So this weekend, for instance, I'll be recording a bunch of ads to focus on, you know, lead magnet type material that we can get to people in our funnel. Because once we connect with you, then we can actually, you know, be able to provide information about what we're doing, what we're building, how we can help you, how it may serve you in the future. So we haven't done any ads or anything like that at this point. It's been all organic. I mean, God's been really had his hand on it, and it's been pretty cool to watch, you know, how we've been able to connect and serve people all over the world. Really, I mean, the downloads have been pretty incredible. I actually host another show for my primary job, and it outpaced The Lion. Took about a month, and then it completely just outpaced that show. And we've been doing that show for 2 years, so it's been pretty cool to see what's out there. So it's just, you know, one step at a time, doing things the right way, serving every guest just like they're the CEO. Some of them are CEOs, but just trying to take care of, you know, treat them all, you know, equally, and just having a lot of fun along the way.
How much time are you able to give to the project now?
It varies. I mean, it's pretty intense. It's a pretty much a full-time job, on top of a full-time job. So we're doing a lot of nights, weekends. There's a lot of flexibility in my primary job too. So I can do some stuff throughout the day, like recording this, you know, I can pop and record. So I do have some autonomy there, but it's definitely a lot of sweat equity going into it right now, just to keep up. You know, we have a calendar because we're dropping 3 episodes on the podcast a week, 1 interview and 2 supplemental episodes. So it's the calendar right now is baked out through October. So we're pretty blessed there. Just a lot of moving parts and trying not to drop the ball on any of it. It's just me and my partner. He does all the back end, the website, things like that. I'm doing the front end, the interviews, the writing, the content creation. So we have a good balance there. It's just, but yeah, so far as the time, I'd be afraid to measure it, to be honest. It's pretty intense.
Okay, so if you had to guess, you would think it's literally 40 hours a week or pretty close to each one.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Or more, at least 40.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Is there any way where you could do the same amount of quality content in 30 hours instead of 40?
I mean, I think the only way that I know how is that something's got to suffer, right? I mean, something's going to have to fall off. So either we don't spend as much time on the podcast and we work more on content creation, or we spend, you know, vice versa. So it's at this point, it's so early in the game. I don't know, outside of outsourcing, you know, if we could outsource some social media or things like that, but we're trying to really bootstrap this and not have a ton of expense on year one, knowing that we're going to have to throw some ad spend and things like that in year two to really get the word out. So I'm not sure where, other than just being, like I said, super intentional about the boundaries for the important stuff for us, which is, you know, family and marriages and things like that. We can't, no matter what, you know, Satan wants that, you know, he's going to try to drive a wedge in all those areas. So we're trying to be super intentional about, you know, when we're with family or with our wives, that's where we're at.
Do you work 6, take a day off?
Oh, I definitely observe the Sabbath. So, awesome. So yeah, the Sabbath is, I didn't used to, but, I've definitely observed that now and find that that's been a, much, I get why God designed it that way.
Yeah.
now that I've been actually observing it and checking out and not doing anything on it.
And on your courses, are you launching, say that you said the financial course, are you launching the financial course in response to people telling you they want more of this, or is this what you think they want?
Yeah, I mean, feedback's been around. So the line within us is built around basically 3 pillars: is health, wealth, and self. And the feedback around the wealth areas have been pretty consistent. Guys are struggling. I mean, guys are struggling with their money. I mean, I had an email literally this morning from a guy in the Lions Den, and he's just like, you know, he's in his 50s, and he's like, he literally said, I'm a terrible steward. He's like, God has blessed me, but I don't know how to manage money. I don't know how I'll ever retire. And he's not the only one. Man, it's been consistent of guys are stressed with their marriage, communication, and in finances, man. So we're trying to help them in a lot of those areas. But yeah, so this has been the personal finance ones. I'm a Ramsey certified coach as well. So I took just a lot of my trainings there, added things to it, took things away that I don't necessarily don't align. And then making our own course, because we definitely see finance, man, you know, that's a big one for, you know, the Christian marriage. And if they can get that right, if we can help serve them in that area, man, it's going to make a big difference.
Awesome. Okay. So are you familiar with, you know who Cliff Ravenscraft is?
Cliff Ravenscraft? I've heard, but I don't know if I can't say I'm familiar with their content.
Okay. He used to be called the Podcast Answer Man.
Okay.
So any question at all, audio, technical, video, audio quality, microphone, whatever, for his podcast, for your podcast.
Oh, okay.
He'd be the one that you contact.
Right. Right. Okay.
But now he's switched to, now he's called the Mindset Answer Man.
Oh, cool.
So think like Tony Robbins, but mm-hmm. not Tony Robbins, obviously.
Right.
Tony Robbins without the language.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And what he says on one of his podcasts is his online business map is have a product that someone pays you money for, even if it's $5. Mm-hmm. And what you can do, what he suggests is, say with this financial one, you have the financial one and you market it, you get people to sign up, you get people to validate it, you do it live 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, however long, a month, however long it is. But then it's been validated by someone. Mm-hmm. So then if it's been validated by cash with someone else is going to validate it too with their dollars. But what you can do is take the live courses, record them, and then make them a self-study course where it's a standalone part of your website that doesn't require you to always do the live training.
Right. Yeah.
Is that something that could maybe help, maybe take some time off of trying to build it? Because if you had some residual income and you got, you know, you sold a class a week or two classes a week or whatever, then that's maybe you could start moving the pendulum from full time to making the other one go a little bit bigger.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something to consider. I mean, we're doing a Bible study right now. I know you saw our Bible study. And I'm teaching it at our church, but I also started a virtual group that, just started actually last week or week before last. And that's straight from podcast listeners. And we advertise it. So I got a group of guys and we get together virtually. And starting this week, I'm going to start recording those. And then the thoughts is I'm gonna take those, pull snips out from those recordings. And that may be future webinars. That may be future ways to promote the Bible study. And to your point, validate the Bible study. And, you know, have other people talking about it versus just me, or at least give some insight to the type of conversations we can have with others if we take the time to go through that type of material. So definitely, you know, stuff like that is great advice.
Awesome. Okay, so does your wife work?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She works too. So, and she helps you with this, or does not really help you with this?
She's pretty hands-off. I mean, she definitely listens to all the shows and she's my sounding board. When I think I got an idea that's worth checking out, I definitely, you know, we very much are connected that way, where I like to just get her feedback, because there's just a ton of counsel and wisdom and just in the person she is. But so far as the, you know, behind the scenes, you know, it's pretty much I'm the guy on that.
Okay.
Outside of my partner, obviously. I mean, he's instrumental.
Right. Well, it seems like, you know, he's got the technical aspect and you don't really know the technical aspect, but you have the content and he doesn't really know the content. So it's like y'all can work like this, like hand in hand together.
Yes, yeah, it's a good balance for sure.
So let's imagine it's 1 year from today.
Yeah.
It's June 21st, 2023.
Right.
What would you like your life and or your business to look like?
Yeah. I mean, we're planning on a June launch for the membership. So we're trying to build the rest of this year and then take the first two quarters of next year to migrate everything over, because we're never going to have to go to another type of platform to host a membership. And then that's also going to give us time to start really leaning heavier into the marketing of the membership, you know, for basically the second quarter of next year. So the goal is June 1st is to hit, we're hitting launch on it and to be up and running with a full membership model with the courses available. But outside of the big value of any membership, as you know, it's the community and bringing people together, Yeah, you got to have good content. You got to be serving them. You have to have a reason for them to keep coming back. But if you can create good forums and discussions and group calls and things like that, that's what's going to keep them there. So next year, you know, June 2023, prayerfully, that's what our goal is, to be hitting launch on that. And hopefully we'll be 21 days into it. We'll see where God's going to take it.
What if it's not June 1st, 2023?
You mean like sooner or later, or?
Well, I don't know. What if it, I mean, do you have a, I'm not saying it's not going to be, but you know, something could happen. And, you know, do you have a, you have a plan to, if it needs to be sooner or needs to be later, to kind of speed it up or slow it down if needed?
Oh yeah. I mean, we could hit the gas if we needed to, but we're trying to purposely take our time and not force things before they're ready. So, we take everything to prayer first and foremost. So if God comes back and says, all right, Chris, go, you know, we're going to have to go. We're going to lean into it and make it happen. My wife is due with a child in November. So we're thinking we're going to crank hard between now and when he gets here. And then first part of the year, really focus on the conversion over to the new platform and then lean into marketing. So just, you know, thinking through the logistics of an actual calendar and the dynamics of families and all that stuff, it just made sense to think, all right, let's make it then. But, you know, God may say, you know what, you need to pick your pace up. And if that's the case, then we'll have to figure out what needs to drop to be able to pick our pace up. And, you know, where do we need to shift in priority? Or he may say you're being too aggressive, because I've often found that my calendar doesn't allow his calendar. So, and I'm okay with that. I mean, at this point, it's just cool to be working finally towards something and having a vision where, you know, just a few months ago, we didn't really have that. We knew we were doing some good things because the downloads are really great on the podcast and people are listening and they're joining the lines then, but we were trying to figure out where is this really going? But I feel like he's bringing that into focus. Now we just got to put in the work.
Yeah. It's kind of odd where it's, you know, you take a step and then you take your second step, but then you don't know. Sometimes you don't know the third step until you take the second step.
Right.
And you don't take the fourth step until you don't know the fourth step until you take the third step. Cause then it reveals itself.
Yeah. I mean, it's also called a leap of faith, right? Because when you take it's not a step of faith. It's a little bit of a leap. When you take a leap, you're both your feet are off the ground, you know, and you have to just understand, you know, I can't control it all. I can just do whatever he tells me to do. There's a pastor Joby Martin. I had the wonderful honor of meeting him. And that's what he told me. He's like, Chris, bro, just do whatever he tells you to do. So, I mean, so that's what I'm trying to do, is just be real focused on whatever direction I'm getting, make sure it's from, you know, the spirit and not from the world, and then lean into that.
So, okay. So let me ask you this. Is there anything currently in your life that is distracting you from being able to hear the voice? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is the job overwhelmingly stressful, or you have so many activities that you need to maybe scale some down to really narrow your focus?
Yeah. I mean, probably the biggest thing from limiting to hear the voice would just be the calendar. And that's why I kind of started off with the struggle is getting your hands around the time. I mean, I'm a engineer too, so I'm pretty big on lists and tasks and how, you know, process flows and all that stuff. So when I look at all the tasks and the lists for both jobs, you know, my primary job and the Lion, you know, it can be overwhelming, but then you have to say, okay, which ones can I actually impact right now? And which ones are priority? So just start putting numbers to those. And then, you know, that's been the biggest help. But I mean, at the same time, yeah, it can be stressful trying to figure out, you know, if you have a day where you have multiple things that are high priority, you know, something's got to give, right? So just making sure that you know where those give and takes are, and that they're right, the right thing to do for both businesses. Cause ultimately my primary job, that's providing right now roof over our head, food. So I can't slack off there, you know, and that's got responsibilities and it's on its own. So, you know, and just for being a good employer, you know, you want to do the right thing and live the biblical model in your primary job too. So, you know, there's foot on the gas there all day too. And then understand, okay, when we're on, when I'm focusing on lion stuff, where does that attention need to be?
Would it help instead of saying you have a list of things to do for the lion, say you've got a list of 10 things that really need to be done in a timely manner to get whatever
launched.
Does overwhelm creep in where you kind of are paralyzed and you do nothing?
I haven't had that help happen yet. I mean, definitely I've battled with anxiety my entire life for the last 12 years. It's off and on. So sometimes it can just be overwhelming, but I find I have actually done some of my best writing when I feel like, you know, I'm just in the literal fire pit, you know, with Satan. And you know what, just, all right, I know you're going to throw hail makers at me. So I'm just going to I'm just going to lean in, get my keyboard and do the work. And that's been the best way I know to combat it outside of just, you know, things like that you should do anyway, like, you know, prayer and, you know, taking things and, you know, leaning all, but also I was meeting with a guy the other day, a pastor out of Florida. He was just like, you know what though, 6 days a week, it's okay to go to bed tired. We're supposed to go to bed tired. Like, you're supposed to bust it sun up to sun down. He's like, this 9-to-5 stuff, man, that's something we made up. He's like, God, that's not God's design. I mean, you're supposed to hump it 6 days a week and, you know, go to bed tired and do the work that he called you to do. And that's what I feel like we're doing. And, you know, some days you feel like you do get it done. Some days, yeah, maybe you can feel a little paralyzed, but at that point, I just try to click off one thing. All right, what's one thing I can just move so I can make a check? And if I can do that, that maybe gives me a little momentum to keep it going.
Yeah. I talked with a lady a couple weeks ago, and she was struggling with overwhelm because she was going to move to a different apartment in her complex, and she had everything boxed up. Well, then before whatever happened, the deal fell through and she couldn't move. I don't know what the deal is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But she was so overwhelmed with how many boxes that she had to re-unpack.
Yeah.
And I said, well, would it change things for you if you don't have boxes to unpack? You only have the next box to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then instead of 17 boxes, you only have one box.
Right.
And if you do that box and you feel like doing another one, okay, I don't have 16 more boxes. I have one more box.
Right. That's right.
So maybe that would, you know, whenever the overwhelm and anxiety comes in, maybe not get overwhelmed with the length of the list, except, no, I don't have to do this whole list. I just got to do number one.
Yep.
And then I got to do number two. And then I get number three, and you break it down to where it's not so overwhelming because you only have to do one thing. You don't have to do 17 things.
Yeah. It's funny you said that, because sometimes I'll hand my wife the list. I'll be like, stack rank this for me. I'm too close to it. And she'll just go down and, you know, one through whatever. And she'll hand it back and she'll say, you're welcome. And, you know, give me a kiss and turn and walk out the room. And I just love it. I'm just like, all right, you know, that's the clarity I needed, because now, you know, the CEO has spoken, and I know she'll listen to this too. So she'll get a kick out of that, but, you know, but it helps. And I think that just speaks to the partnership. That's why the covenant of marriage we speak so much about on the line within us is so critical, because if you have that and you have that trust, there's no conflict. Cause if there was conflict, man, we couldn't do it. Like, if there was conflict in our marriage and I wanted to do this, but she didn't, there's no way. Because, you know, there's no way I could manage that or even go anywhere with it, because it would just constantly be pulling us down. But she sees the vision and understands the goal and how it could impact the kingdom and how it could help our family do, you know, things that we never know. She keeps telling me, take God out the box. So we're just trying to take him out the box, but she's been very instrumental in helping a lot of those areas for sure.
Yeah. One thing we need to remember is, especially if you're married, you're on the same team.
Yes, right.
Like we're both wearing white today, you know.
That's right.
Somebody doesn't have red on and somebody didn't have white. We both have our white on today and we're on the same team and we're going this direction.
That's right. It's so important, man. Guys forget it. And or they don't communicate. And that's where I've been talked to many guys and they struggle with communication in their marriage. And that's where it breaks down, or they're all in on their kids and they forget that they're actually married. You know, there's a whole thing called gray divorce now. Like, you know, it's when the kids go to college and you're empty nesters and they don't know each other. And it's like, man, can't have that. Can't have that. You know, first and foremost, serve him. Second, serve your wife. And then kids. Like they're further down the priority pole than most guys put them, man. And I think we gotta fix that.
Okay. So what makes you have anxiety?
The lack of control, you know, just of the unknown.
What are you actually in control of?
Yeah, pretty much nothing, right? I mean,
okay, so hold on, wait. So if you're actually in control of nothing, which is probably true.
Yep.
What's the point being anxious about?
That's right. Hey, if I figured that one out, man, you know, that then I probably sell that course to be a millionaire. Because I mean, ultimately, the Bible says, and what gets me frustrated about it, what Paul says, to be anxious about nothing but everything, prayer and supplication, make a request known to God. Well, that's easier said than done. It's like, how do you? I struggle with that one. I mean, and we're not supposed to worry about tomorrow because the day has enough worry of its own. So I mean, you know the scriptures, but there's a difference in head knowledge and heart knowledge, and that's where I'm trying to get, okay, you know what? I know what it says. I know what the scriptures say, but how can I start applying this stuff? And ultimately for me, it's just taking it to the Lord. And I'll just lay it at his feet. Like, okay, I can't stress over this. You know, I can't stress over this guest maybe they were in the schedule and it was really important for us to record with them. And they had to change the date. And you know, I can't stress over that. You know, it wasn't God's timing. So I just moved them down the schedule. And so I'm trying to be more intentional about, you know, I guess it's called negative distortions. That's what's the word. So that self-talk that we have as guys, man, I'm trying to just eliminate that because you're right. There's really not much we can't control, but we can control how we respond.
That's about all you can control.
Yeah.
For example, take a deep, big breath of oxygen right now.
Right.
You don't control that oxygen supply.
Right.
You don't control that your lungs are going to work and everything. The only thing you control is how we choose to respond to any given situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we can control when we set our alarm clock to get up in the morning, but we don't control waking up either.
Mm. Right.
So if pretty much everything, 99.99% of everything is outside of our control, what's good worrying about it going to do?
Yeah, that's right. Not a single thing. The sparrows don't, right? So why should we worry about it?
It's like a rocking chair. You're moving, but you're not going anywhere.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
So what's the next smallest possible step you can do to work on the balance between your day job and your passion project, basically?
The smallest step. I'm trying to think. You mean like a practical, like a tactic or something?
Whatever comes to mind. I mean, it could be as simple as, I'm going to write down an idea for a future guest, or I'm going to write down an idea for a future podcast. It's the smallest possible step to get you going in the right direction, where you can either look at your calendar or whatever, where you can find, where you can squeeze, you know, 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there of focused time to knock out something.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Right now, the next small step in terms of that is, I used to, we've done ads for our show in the past, and we've done, you know, worked with affiliates and had things like that. So the ads were really promoting other people's stuff, you know, trying to help. So I've kind of made a decision. We're not going to do that anymore. We'll have affiliates, but it's just on our website. So we're going to have I'm creating some ads, actually doing it this Friday night. I got a recording evening set up and I'm going to record some ads focusing on some of our lead magnet items, focusing on the Bible study, the personal finance course, you know, the items that, you know, promote the stuff that we're doing to serve others and how that may bring value to people. And that's going to be our ad spots. And the way I used to do ads was from the hip, man, just kind of, it was loosely like bullet points, but now I'm actually being super intentional about scripting them. So I'm going to script out some short ad, and we're talking 30 seconds, you know, a typical podcast ad, a minute at the most, but scripting them so that we can make sure that the right language is there. That we touch on the key areas that are important to for the listener to understand, why should I even care about this? You know, just have a complete focus on the user versus me. You know, let's, you know, if I'm listening to this, why should I give a, you know, 2 cents about it? And then, you know, I'm writing those little bitty ads, and they take about 20, 30 minutes if you do them right. Cause you know, you write them 2 or 3 times and read them out loud. And so that's the next like basic step of items that I'm trying to work on to, so that when we get to Friday evening, when I cut all the lights and the mic on, everything, we'll be ready with a good scripts to knock those out.
Awesome. Okay. So I like that because you're not thinking about Friday today.
Right.
You're only trying to get this one, you know, one 30 second or minute, however long you're only trying to get that done today.
Right. Right.
So it's like, have you ever heard of Donald Miller? He wrote Building a Story Brand, Blue Light Jazz.
Oh yeah, the story brand guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That story brand loop, you could put that into your ads.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you can't be the hero.
Right.
Because there's only one hero.
Right.
You know, so if you're the hero, then there's no room for someone else to be the hero because the hero is already, I mean, there's only one Avengers. Okay.
That's right. Right.
But he has a framework that uses stories. And that may be something to look into. I think there's a free PDF on his website, or I think I have it if you can.
I have to check that out, man. I think I've read one of his books. I'm pretty sure, but I have to check that out.
Another good book is Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bright orange book with duct tape on the cover.
Yeah, I've read that one. That's a good one. Yeah.
But the more of those sticky elements you can put in your ad, the more people remember them.
That's right. That's right.
And people remember stories better than anything else.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Very true.
So if you can make your ad a story, like you open the loop and you tell a story and then you can close the loop, or it's the cliffhanger, come right in here at this podcast and get the answer to this question, people are going to want to close that loop.
That's right. That's right.
So that may be something to consider as well.
Great advice. Yeah, because stories, that's where it's at. I mean, that's how I remember stuff too, you know.
Well, some guy named Jesus used them too to pretty good effect.
Yeah, yeah, he was pretty good at that, you know.
So if he's the example and he used story,
yep,
maybe tell a story.
That's right.
And just make your ad be a story.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
Because then it could be more, if it's a story you really, really know, it can be scripted, but you could also off the hip tell a story too.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that way they get more of you in the ad versus, oh, hello, my name is Chris. I'm with, you know, where you're reading.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah.
So that may be something to consider too.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I think we're here. I think we're done.
Okay.
Kind of got kind of a path forward, and it's just baby steps.
Right.
Just enough baby steps. All of a sudden you walk wherever you want for enough baby steps.
That's right. That eating that elephant one little bite at a time, right?
That's the way it goes.
That's right. Well, thank you.
Well, it was a pleasure speaking with you today. It's been fun.
Oh, I had a blast, Dave. I mean, you're doing good stuff, man. I wish the best for you and your business moving forward too.
Awesome. All right. We'll see y'all next time.